Hello, one day. It's Thursday, March 12, 2026, and this is the week in charts. I just want to thank all you guys and girls for attending. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to be here. One day I will announce the show ahead of time. Usually Thursdays at 10 Eastern, I'm sorry, 11 Central, 12 Eastern. Today was a bit of a whirlwind. My dog decided to chew through the fiber optic cable coming to the house. So anyway, laugh to keep from crying. It's not like it was right before the market open or anything. All right, what are we talking about? Well, current market conditions, obviously, a lot to say about that. I want to spend most of the time focusing on charts this week and the methodology in action, as you'll see in 1 second. Very important. I think we're at a bit of an inflection point. I think we're kind of going from bad to worse here. And I'm going to flesh all that out in quite a bit of detail, but a very important time to pay attention. For sure. So for the methodology in action, as I've said a million times, that was the missing piece for me, and I think the missing piece for nearly every trader out there. And that'll make sense in a minute. There's all my contact information, and you can also reach me at dave@davelander.com. That was a disclaimer screen. As you know, you can lose money trading or as often summing up all predictions about the future, and a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. There's the contact information again. All right, as I've said ad nauseam, the missing piece for me was not being able to see somebody else trade and go through the ups and downs. And believe me, there's a lot of ups and downs, and I hope I don't make it seem easier than it really is, because it's not. And I've often been criticized for saying that I make it sound too elusive, and it's not that elusive. It's not nearly as hard as many people make it, but it's not. It's far from easy, obviously, but actually seeing a trader make trades and go through the ups and downs and be pissed off and be bummed out and you know, a little elation here and there too, made me realize that, hey, I'm normal and going through all these emotions. And that's the thing about trading, is a lot of times, a lot of the stuff just, it makes you feel like you're not normal. And believe me, it's just a common thread, I think, with all of us, and nobody likes to lose money, and there's a neurology to that too. Anyway. All right, let's talk about the business charts and the methodology in action. So this was last week. I put out this tweet. I just want to go over this real quick. This is the VIX with the distance from the moving average plotted below. And if we have time, we'll look at that in a live chart. The reason I want to show this example was it was a little bit more cut and dry than this week's example. But anyway, so 200 shares, and it was a plus one, minus one IPT and trailing stop, respectively. Now, one thing I was talking about last week, and a few of you asked me questions on this, when you get into an intraday trade, now, not a huge fan of day trading, and if I let the market come to me, I could do really well day trading. I think it was, what was it, Monday? Monday was an amazing day, one of the best days I probably ever had on an intraday basis, okay? And that's because I let the market come to me. The VIX was stretched, and I let it all unfold. But since then, I haven't done too well. I should have just sat on my hands. The one part of or piece of content I've been working on is making money is not hard, keeping it is. And that'll make sense as I flesh that out a little bit more. But anyway, the buy was here. And what I'm looking for in this SVXY is a reversion to the mean. And this is the only. Now, this is on futures, and I know it gets really, really complicated. If you think about it, the VIX is a derivative of a derivative, okay? So the SVXY is a derivative of futures, which is a derivative of the VIX, which is a derivative of a hypothetical option. So it gets kind of complicated quickly. And the futures also have a decay to them without going into a lot of details. But on an intraday basis, it's okay to, I think it's okay to take these trades, even though this is kind of an imperfect instrument, based on all the derivatives of derivatives and such, plus the decay thrown in. But you don't have to worry about all that. But as a general statement, on an intraday basis, this is going to perform similar to the VIX or have enough correlation to where it's tradable. Anyway, so 1.1 point. So just getting back to what I was saying a second ago to close the loop on that. So I have a 1 point stop and a 1 point initial profit target. Okay. The initial profit target is a limit order. Now, on my position trades, I usually don't use limits. But on the intraday stuff, I like to try to do the Ron Popeil Showtime Rotisserie 2000, set it and forget it, okay? And every night it works out beautifully like this, where you buy and you have your stop, and that's automated trailing stop that trails higher. Your IPT gets hit, and then there's nothing to do except X the trade on the close. And that's in an ideal world. And that's why I wanted to show you this one, because it kind of worked out on an ideal basis where you had a nice little obvious reversal. And this is a 30-minute chart, okay? Now, there's some zigs and zags in between. And that's the reason I'm on a 30-minute chart, by the way, is to try to not get too caught up in the zigs and zags. As I've said 1,000 times, I was trading E-minis a few years back, and I was Monday, I didn't have a trade. Tuesday, I didn't have a trade. Wednesday, I didn't have a trade. I think it was maybe Thursday, I finally had a trade, and I made money. I'm like, that's weird. I'm not getting any trades in these E-minis, okay? And then the following week, the same thing happened again, and it dawned on me after a while. I was on a 15-minute chart as opposed to a 5-minute chart. And since then, all my intraday stuff that I look at is on a 30-minute chart. Now, I actually, if I do find myself on a 5-minute chart, I actually write in my trading journal 5-minute warning, because you can get too caught up in those zigs and zags. My ideal intraday trading, and I call it intraday trading as opposed to day trading, is going to be get in and, again, set it and forget it. Hopefully, I know that's a big, you should never use that word in trading, but hopefully that's how it works out. So this was the VIX trade here, and I'm going to flesh out a little bit of the reversion to the mean thing here in just 1 second. Okay, so I put out this tweet on March 9th. Watch reversion to the mean in the VIX, bounce in the P's. Don't be a hero, though. It looks like it's prone to head fakes. And I got caught. I think I already got caught in a head fake right after I put this out or shortly before. But anyway, down here, and we'll try to look at the live chart if time allows. This is the open, the high, the low, and the close of the VIX as a distance away from the 10-day simple moving average. So the white line would be the close, okay, or where it currently is trading. And that tells you how far it's stretched away from the moving average. And as I've said quite a few times, back when I was doing research and programming for Larry Connors, he explained to me how the VIX worked. He said it's a reversion to the mean market. So I kind of took that ball and ran with it. And he hadn't created moving average type of systems, but I was kind of fascinated with moving averages. Still am, I should say, to some degree. Anyway, so I used moving averages and started creating systems with Larry on the VIX. Now, like I said last week, and I know I'm kind of last week at Bandcamp and rehashing a lot of things, but the VIX only matters when it matters. So you want to make sure it's really stretched. And these VIX systems, the short-term VIX systems can print money until they don't. And that's, I think, anything short-term, and maybe somebody could prove me wrong, but I think that short-term trading, you just don't make enough money to handle the occasional spanking. And as I said last week, I was looking at the VIX stuff pre-COVID and before COVID hit, and it just was absolutely printing money. But then after COVID, you had such extreme, crazy volatility when the market finally kicked in to the news of COVID, okay? Or the fear, I should say. The volatility just went whack. And if you're trying to sell volatility, that volatility doubles overnight. So you'd be in a lot of trouble as a hurt and pop. Now, on an intraday basis, you can play those reversions to the mean. Anyway, so this week we have deja vu all over again. I put out this on Monday. And here is the chart. And you can see that the white line is the close. And the formulas are all right here. Very, very, very simple formulas, okay? And so the VIX is this yellow bar up here. The P's is on a closing basis or wherever they are at the current time is the green dotted line up here. And then this magenta line is a 10-day simple moving average. So when it gets stretched away from the moving average, you want to look for a reversion to the mean move in the VIX and in the S&P 500. So as you know, S&P 500 got whacked on Monday, but then it came back nicely. And the VIX, as you can see, gapped way up here before coming right back in. So if you look at the white is the open, correction. And the green is the high. So it opened right about its high, and then it began to implode. Now, when was it, like a few weeks ago? Okay, last week, you had a gap up in the VIX, and then it came back in. You had a spike in the VIX, I should say, before it came back in. Now, if it's just chopping around a moving average, don't do anything. There's nothing to do, okay? So this is something that doesn't happen that often, but when it does happen, it pays to pay attention. And as I've said before, sometimes I'm not paying attention to this, although I've started really paying attention to it now, okay, just in case. But again, when it gets stretched like that, it both ways, if it gets stretched to the downside, there's a potential for the market to sell off and that VIX to snap back. The upside stretches are a little bit more dramatic and a little bit more, I don't want to say sure thing, but more imminent to happen when you get really, 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 really stretched to the upside. Now, just look at these lines here, how stretched you were. You were 60% away from the moving average. And I have these little lines set at 10. Usually when you get about 10% or so away, start looking for a reversal, okay, in the markets and in the VIX. And you can see this isn't great because this is the low. So the close didn't get below 10%, but you can see the market did sell off a bit and the VIX did take off a little bit, but it really wasn't that stretched right here. Okay, but it was a little bit stretched. But again, when you get these extreme moves higher in the VIX, you want to start looking for a reversion to the mean, meaning short the VIX and go long the S&P 500. So again, super, 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 super stretched. And then we got the reversion to the mean move. Now, I put in a 5-minute chart here just so you can see the zigs and zags of what it did intraday and how I played it. Now, I did play it a little bit more cleanly in another account, but this is the trades I took in my model account. So I just want to show you these. The model account, technically, I guess these trades shouldn't go in the model account. The model account is an account I use to track the service and how I do compared to the service. And I try to mimic the service as much as possible. I do use a little discretion every now and then, which sometimes pays off nicely and sometimes bites me in the buttocks. But anyway, there's all the trades there. And what I did early on, I was a little aggressive and I knew I was being aggressive. And I came in and I said, okay, this thing looks like it might be reversing. Let me take a stab at it. And it was almost, that's a weird kind of trade because when you're taking a stab at something, you're like, oh, I'm just going to do this for S&Gs, right? And you got to be careful because you can get into a lot of trouble quickly when you're doing that. You're much better off waiting for a more defined type of signal. But it just seemed like everything was so overdone. I went in and took a stab at it, something I wouldn't recommend you do. It didn't drop that far below its open. So I would use, if you had to look at this more mechanically, I would use that high. Now, if it really began to implode, then you could wait till it looks like it's really beginning to rally off those lows. And that's what I did. But anyway, the first trade lost $56. And then later in the morning, I was like, okay, this looks like it's finally starting to break out. This looks like the real deal. So I went back in on this trade. Now, the danger of taking stabs at something is you could die a death of 1,000 cuts, right? And you could also, it also could throw your mojo off to where you're thinking like, damn, I don't want to lose money again. You know, it's painful to lose money. And then it's even more painful to add insult to injury by losing money again. But anyway, so the buy was there. Initial profit target was 1 point in this particular case. And then that stop was trailed higher. So $100, you know, better than the poke of the eye. And then the market started coming in fairly hard, and I felt like it was a bit of a gift horse situation. So I went ahead and lock and loaded. And sometimes when you get with a big old reversal in the market, and I don't want I don't want to start trading like this myself. I wouldn't recommend you trade too much, too active like this, but sometimes on those big old huge route days, you get these huge corrections, which could turn into a bona fide reversal. So at that point, I figured, okay, I'm going to go ahead and just lock and load on this. And then if it takes off again, I'll get back in. And that's what I did. Now, again, in an ideal world, what you'd want to do is trail that stop higher on the remainder of the position and not go in and out all day like a rabbit going for cocaine. So I did use a little bit, I wouldn't call it discretion because I don't have a hardcore plan for exactly how to trade this. But in an ideal world, once you get your initial profit target off, once that limit is hit, then you just close your eyes, turn your screens off, go for a walk, and let that trailing stop take care of your position. And in this case, I didn't do that. I got out and then I got back in and then I exited late in the day. So again, I didn't let the stop get hit. I took profits late in the day, another $100. So better than a poke in the eye. You add it all up, $288 on the day. Now I was a little, you know, truth be told, I was a little skittish in this trade just because the volatility was so whack in the overall market. But in an ideal world, and I'd like to be better myself and not go in and out so much. I mean, you know, it'd be kind of cool to have an ego to where you're in and out, like, oh, I was in and out, I didn't lose anything, and all I made was money all day. But longer term, if you could just get in and ride the intraday trend trading is what I'm trying to do here. In this case, it was a reversal to trend type trade. But anyway, better than the poke in the eye. So what I would say with the VIX is it pays to pay attention on during certain times. Okay. So when you get 10% or more away from the simple 10-day simple moving average, it usually pays to pay attention to the VIX and look for that reversion to the mean intraday. All right, as I would say quite a bit, all trades eventually and badly. And I think I said this in weeks prior, but I met Sakota once and I asked him why he's no longer managing money. And he said that all his clients who started with him early on, he parlayed their money so much that he was still having the same percentage drawdowns that he did early on, but those accounts were so much smaller. Now the swings were millions and millions of dollars. And he said that the clients just couldn't take it. Now that's a good problem to have when you're very profitable on individual trades or a collection of trades, but it could also be very painful. So this is TFPM. We're looking to bank 1,000 in the first loaf. And about a week or so ago, or maybe a little bit longer, we had 73.09 in open profits on the remainder. So we're selling half of the position. Remember, we're trailing that stop higher. Now the stop is way down here. We're giving it room to breathe, okay, as it moves more and more in our favor. Now you're going to give up nearly half of those open profits. It sucks, to put it mildly. But if you're not willing to give up open profits or even have open losses initially, like right here, that was a pretty ugly loss, okay? And then right here, it was dead money for months, right? Okay? And then these drawdowns here were very, very significant, okay? Now, the problem is one of those pullbacks will be the last. It's going to look like a pullback or a correction, however you want to look at it, and then it'll turn into a bona fide top. And now things are getting a little iffy throughout, as you'll see in 1 second. So if you're stopped out, you'll do 37.09 plus the roughly $1,000. So you make $4,700, better than the poke of the eye, right? But you will give up $3,600 of those open profits. And then with this mark to market, we were right around almost 6K on the trade. Same thing with KGC. I think we're up 100% in this one. So just massive open profits at this juncture, but the stop is really wide. And you can see, again, that is a huge drop, and you only make $8,150 if stopped out. And I was just telling my wife right before we went live here, about, you know, she's like, we can talk about it, whatever. So, well, I'm going to reiterate the how tough the open profit drawdowns are. And I said, you know, we're up like 12, we get stopped out, we make eight. And it's like, well, you still made 8,000, but in your head, you're like, you're thinking about that 12,000. It kind of, it does mess with your head a little bit. I want to be frank about all this. I don't want to be like, oh, just do this, okay? If you can't handle it, then maybe you can't handle trading. Well, we all go through these emotions. I'm a very emotional guy. Today, I'm just kind of like pissed off at the world with everything going on, and especially my dog and the person who brought the dog in the house. But that's another story. No, that's, everything's fine there. Anyway, so at the time of this capture, there was $9,000 open. And I'm going to say the word hope again, but hopefully we survive the next or the rest of this correction, and then it goes on to make new highs. All right, we have a so long and thanks for all the fish this week. This is AXTI. And I say it's not a mystery chart because it triggered intra-week, okay? If I have a setup, a fresh setup in the trading service, I show it as a mystery chart in the week of charts. Anyway, there's all the parameters down below. Looks like a crazy wide stop, but this stock is crazy, okay? So it triggers, and it hits the IPT fairly quickly. And then again, we trail that stop, and we let it widen out, and we got stopped out for 1771. This is on 100K account. Hypothetical, but I do actually take these trades. So that 1771 plus 1,000, 2771. Over a short period of time, and I know it's fuzzy math, but annualize that, and you'd be doing really well. Now, one thing I noticed after I got stopped out is that, holy moly, of course, the next day I noticed it was up $8. So in addition to noticing that, notice that the 30 EMA wasn't that far away from where the stop was, okay? And I didn't get around to measuring it, but ideally, once you're in a position, and I know it's painful to give up those open profits, believe me, but once you're in a position, it would be great if you could transition to a point where you're at least be able, you would at least be able to survive down to the 30, and then maybe even longer term, even a little bit beyond that, because notice this amazing trend. It never did hit the 30 for a long time, and it came down and kind of touched it for a little while and then took off again, okay? So if you can survive at least to the 30, that's a, that would be a good thing, and you probably catch a lot of trends doing that. Here's another one that wasn't a mystery chart because it triggered intra-week. This is AG, a silver stock. Landry-like pullback pulls back to the moving average. There's all the parameters, entry, stop, IPT. And you can see it triggers. And then it hits the initial profit target. In this case, there was an opening gap that it triggered on, okay? So you can see it's like 10 cents above or 20 cents above the entry, okay? And I do try to use realistic entries in the service. Even though it's hypothetical, I wanna make sure it's as close to real life as possible. And I do have my own trades to compare it to. And a lot of times I'll, as you guys know, I'll talk to you guys to see what you did and how bad or how good your feels were. Anyway, so it hit the initial profit target and unfortunately came back in and stopped out for $388. So, you know, $1,300, over a short period of time, annualized, that's pretty good, right? That's better than the poke in the eye. Now, this is a former mystery chart. And again, Landry-like pullback. Now, the original recommendation was on this day. And I did adjust the entry lower as it continued to drop. So you'll notice the entry is going to look a little different. So the entry is there, but that's based on the fact that this market dropped a few more, few bucks or whatever, a couple bucks. Stop is here. Initial profit target is here. And let's see what happens. Not a whole lot yet. So there was $106 open when I took this screenshot. Okay, here's This is what I call a double top knockout. You've got a minor double top, a little top, and then you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days in between, or 5 days. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days in between. 3 or 4 days in between two peaks. And ideally, you want that second peak to be a little higher than the one on the left. And what that does is it gives new hope to those who are long, okay? And it might piss off the shorts to where they feel like, well, this thing's way overvalued, I'm going to short it. So you've got the nice little knockout move there. That's a double top knockout, which is a variation, obviously, of the trend knockout. There's all the parameters down below. Entry is fairly close to the top of that knockout bar. Now, with the trend knockout, if you have a big, nice, wide range bar down like we have, remember, the idea is for that market to knock out some players, right? Your nervous Nellies. Let's say somebody bought it like right here or even on this high due to FOMO, feeling like they're going to miss out on a trade. And then you get that knockout bar. Well, that's going to knock them out. And those traders are the absolute worst as far as mucking up your position, right? Because they don't have a lot of staying power, usually either mentally and or monetarily. They're the last to get in and the first to get out. And those trades, LIFOs, I guess we go last in, first out, LIFOs. Those are LIFOs. Hey, you got to watch out for those guys. The other thing that happens too is eager shorts will short into highs. And I didn't realize this until I actually spoke to a group of day traders. And usually when I speak to a group, they're like, they're a bunch of day traders. And I get there and it's a bunch of old guys that you know, wouldn't know a day trade if it hit them in the butt. But this time it was a bunch of young guys full of testosterone, and they were hardcore day traders, and they're putting like all their account plus super leverage into the markets every day. I thought it was just absolutely crazy. And one of their strategies was to short the parabolics, parabolic type of move like this, obviously. And you can see this move here was fairly parabolic, okay? And sometimes out of a TKO, not yet with this one, but there's hope. There's that word again. But sometimes with a TKO, the market can go parabolic afterwards. And that's probably because the shorts aren't giving up. And if the shorts, eager shorts come in here and short at this high and they get instantly vindicated, if that market goes right back up, they're going to have to put up a shut up. And if you think about it, shorts go in and short markets that are banging on new highs with vigor, it's going to be hard for them to cover. And in some cases, and not short. A shark is something different. Let's hope I don't have any of those today. Anyway, the stop is a little bit wider on this one. If this would have been a much wider range bar, sometimes you could, I call it a textbook TKO. You can go in above the high and stop out below the low. Anyway, initial profit target up here. Let's see what happens. And we were profitable for a little bit, then it's come back in, but let's just see how it all shakes out. Okay, this one. So this is Victoria's Secret. This chart is a little messed up, but this is the first short of the year. You can see it was in a longer term uptrend, and then look what happened. It went sideways for a while, and then right here, man, an all-time high, giving everybody a little bit of false hope, like, hey, this thing's getting ready to break out to new highs. I better jump in and buy right away. And then look what happens. It rolls over and makes a bow tie. And I'll show you a zoomed in version of that in just 1 second. So the entry is right here. You can see the thrust down. And with the bow tie and the first thrust, you're looking to short after the first little tiny bit of a correction. Ideally, I'd like a bigger move higher. But sometimes on that first little move higher, especially after all-time highs, It catches the most people at the worst possible time. And for instance, you have somebody, of course, you might have a Johnny come lately who bought right at that brand new high, who got sucked into that false breakout, okay? And all of a sudden the market begins to rally a little bit. He's thinking, okay, I might be okay here. I'm just gonna sit tight. And what's kind of interesting is, as a general statement, people don't sell stocks on their way down, okay? And what they do, the bad traders, obviously, or the investors who think they're going to make a trade, what they'll do is they'll wait to see if it comes back, you know, and they might look to get at a break even or whatever. And that false little one bar rally kind of gives them a little hope, okay? And then the market spits them out. And of course, they don't sell as soon as it goes down a little further. They wait until it begins to accelerate lower, and then they bail out. And that's why sometimes on the short side, you can get these huge spikes lower. Unfortunately, it's hard to hold on the short side. If I didn't have to short again the rest of my life, I'd be okay with that. But the reason I short, as I said ad nauseum, is one, it's the only way to make money when the market goes down, right? And two, it helps you to see both sides of the market. And if you learn how to short, even if you don't make a lot of money shorting, I would urge you to learn how to short again, so you can make some money when the market goes down, but more importantly, so you can see both sides of the market. So you would see it, you see a chart like this and say, wow, that's a big fat top. Look how ugly that is. And as I've said before, my friends, not to take anything away from them, they're out running millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars, and I'm not, you know, so good for them. But the ones that are long only oriented, they tend to always see the market as kind of glass half full as opposed to glass half empty, talking their position, so to speak. Anyway, so this one just triggered, and it's moved a tiny bit in our favor, not enough to write home about. Let's zoom this in. Yeah, that's chart's messed up there. Okay, so if you look at this, okay, so this little peak, this little right here, wasn't quite as high as this one. So whoever bought on this one is probably thinking, it looks like it's breaking out close enough for government work. So in an ideal world, you'd want to see this one a little bit higher. Also, with your bow ties, you want to see an all-time high for shorts, ideally, or at least a multi-year high. So you know that the most amount of people are on the wrong side of the market. And you kind of picking up a little theme maybe here that the technical analysis, at least that I use, you're reading the psychology of the players and looking to capitalize on that. And that's all charts are. From my perspective, all this mumbo jumbo out there, you know, all this numerology and wave counting, all this other stuff. Not a big fan of that kind of stuff. Anything esoteric and arcane. But if you just use a little common sense, okay? For instance, anybody who bought in this range is now going to look to get out at break even. And we've got a nice fat wide stop on this. So hopefully those people, as a word again, right, will begin to bail out as that stock approaches that overhead supply, okay, and then the stock rolls back over. That's the in theory, at least. But anyway, you have here your all-time high is right there, okay, and then this was in a longer-term uptrend, as I showed in the prior chart with the big blue arrow. The 10 is greater than 20, and the 20 is greater than 30. 10 simple, 20 exponential, 30 exponential. Now you can see that they've rolled over. 10 is less than 20, and 20 is less than the 30, okay? Now, once that occurs, we only need to complete the pattern again, a one bar pullback, a higher high to higher low. And sometimes you just get a higher and a low. Those are a little bit more aggressive, but this is a hard trade to take, because I would prefer if it had a little deeper pullback to give people a little bit more hope. But I do find when these one bar pullbacks work, sometimes they can really work because a lot of people are trapped on the wrong side of the market. So what happens is nobody's gotten out, okay, and no shorts have covered just yet. And that helps to exacerbate things as they move lower. All right, any questions on any of that? No hope. let's see what he's saying. Did he say hope? There's no hope in trading. There's no crying in baseball. All right, just real quick, I grabbed the Landry 100 right before we went live. And my point here is that speculation is still alive and well. And one thing that I've been noticing lately is I'm still finding enough, a lot of these stocks are getting kicked out, okay, lately, as you would expect. Sector rotation is kind of been a little nuts lately. But I am still finding enough stocks to replace them. But what's interesting is the stocks are actually higher in historical volatility. So when I'm looking for new candidates for this after we kick some out, right, I'm looking at the highest volatile stocks first, or the most volatile stocks first, sorted by historical volatility. And, the, you know, some of the ones at the top, crazy 600 HV or 800, whatever, 1,000 HV, that's just not going to work. That's just too crazy, right? They're just all over the place. But when you start going a little further and the stocks are a little bit more cleanly and have a little more structure, those are the ones that I'm interested in. Now, right now, because the market has become iffy, people still speculate in the crazy issues, okay? But your, what's a good word to put it? Just your more generic stock, your more well-known, not generic, but more well-known stocks, those tend to be more of a source of funds when the market begins to tank a little bit. And we could actually use that to our advantage when it comes to shorting. So some of these really big names that begin to roll over and make these nice bow ties or first thrusts, things of that nature, we can go after those type of stocks because you've got a lot of players. It's a very crowded playing field. Just the opposite of what we do on the long side, okay? We're looking for the more volatile stock with few players. We're kind of hoping, I know, I just said hope again. I got to watch that. Where the idea is that stock will begin to catch on, like the AXTI, for instance, which is up in the Landry list, is up 650%, okay? So you're looking for more people to catch on as opposed to people to dump it, okay? So shorting is a little bit different, a lot more complex than going long. Anyway, one thing that I usually do, and I didn't get around to it this year, but usually when the market's making new highs and has done so for a while, I'll do a presentation called Before the Bomb Blows Up. You can find us that on my YouTube channel. I also did quite a few of those, or at least one, a few summers ago when the market was making new highs on my the stock chart show I used to do, Trading Simplified. But anyway, my point there is the time to study market timing is before the bomb blows up. It reminds me of a friend of mine from Mississippi when he moved back to Mississippi to sell out all his brew equipment. And this guy was kind of broke that bought. I know the guy. And he's like, he'll borrow like $1 from you to pay the meeting fee of $2. But anyway, long story endless. Yeah. The buddy of mine was helping him load all the brew gear. And I forget what it was. It was like 150 bucks or something. He's like, will you take 120? And my buddy goes, the time to negotiate was before you had me help you load it all into your truck. So the time to learn about market timing is before the market crashes. Anyway, so these zones here were inspired by Jeff, a client of mine. And initially, I only had this one line in here. And this is what I call the 10% line, okay? And that is, in stock charts, it is Landry percent of close, okay? And I have it set to 90 and 50. So it's 90% of the 50-week closing high is what that number is. That's the formula for that. Fairly simple stuff. Now, Jeff says he thinks about getting out, or likes to think about getting out, and gets really cautious when we drop more than 5%. I think he's on to something, okay? So right now we're in don't worry, be happy mode because we're still in the green, okay? But we're getting pretty close to that 5%. So I think Jeff's on to something. I think we need to pay attention to that. The actual sell would be when we close below the 50-week moving average and close below the 10% line. Okay, so you're going to be 10% away from the all-time high. In theory, you only lose 10% of your open profits with this system. Back here on this sell signal, you would have lost a little more. And I did take this sell because I took the buy and the Qs going into it. And it was a massive run, biggest run I've ever had in the Qs my entire life. But anyway, the buy is a little bit more complex. You need two lows greater than the 50-week moving average. In other words, two bars of Landry light. And you buy on the close. And I set it up by accident on a calendar week. So you would actually buy on a Friday, and that's how the original system was set up, and I really hadn't messed with it too much. One thing that I did do, which is a little bit of a tweak, and in this case it didn't work out, but you can see on this, when this thing sold off hard, I'll occasionally take these signals, as I've shown in presentations before, but with my daughter's leftover college funds, I just use this as the market timing. I don't get in and do crazy in and out trades and everything else. I don't want them asking me why the equity swings are so big. And but this way, I get them out of the way. I feel like when I need to, and I've often been asked, like, well, Dave, you don't do anything long term. Well, this is what I would do that would be longer term, because some people are looking for certain things to do with some longer term type investments or whatever. And I think this is a good little system. And we have a guy in our Facebook group, Jim. And Jim's been around a lot longer than me. He's been around the markets a lot longer than me too. And so he once said, which was a huge compliment for me, that it's one of the best things he's seen. And it's just such a simple little deal. And you know, here it is, free. So I'm not making anything on it. But anyway, the sell would be back here when it hits that 10% level, which is well below that 50-week moving average. Now you can see, as the trend gets longer and matures and slows a little bit, the 10% line can actually be above the 50, okay? So in this particular case, it's well below the 50. Simple. So pay attention to that, just in case, before the bomb blows up. All right, let me shift gears. I doubt there's anything to do with crypto, but I think it's worth at least taking a look to see if there's anything happening. So here's Bitcoin, and Bitcoin's been trying to bottom out. I wouldn't rush out and buy it just yet. Maybe if it makes a bow tie to the upside, it might be worth a shot. But for now, it's looking pretty ugly. And as I said before, I have a friend of mine, Jim. He's got his life savings in Bitcoin. I've been telling him well before 100K, he did 100K, that all asset classes will lose at least half of their value at some point in your lifetime. So where were we? 126 ish, okay? And where did we drop to? 60. So that's more than half of its value. So that's why I believe in technical analysis. That's why I believe in trends, okay? And that's why I believe in not trying to catch the falling knife. That's why I believe in getting out of the way when it's time to get out of the way. If a market, this was the premise of the TFM 10% system. If a market's gonna lose half its value, it's gonna lose 10% first, okay? Now, that doesn't work for crazy volatiles like the AXTI with a 34% stop. That's what it called for, okay? So an AXTI, it's like 34% is that far away from the price. It looks actually too tight. But I guess it was on that trailing stop, okay? Which was more than 34%. But this is a different animal when you're looking at something like the S&P 500 or even the NASDAQ to some extent. Anyway, so that's Bitcoin. Bitcoin's still in a pretty serious downtrend. It's been flattening out a little bit, but not enough for me to get excited. As I've said, ad nauseam, sometimes when Bitcoin is doing well, you could just come in here and buy these shit coins, SHYT, the ones that are going up the most. But lately, nothing's been very exciting. And I really haven't done anything in crypto. I can't remember my last crypto trade. But when things start blowing and going again, I'll start paying attention to these ones that are making new highs. And sometimes you just flat out buy new highs. I'll buy a brand new high and set a, there's that AXTI, look at that. Oh, look at that thing, it's huge. It set an initial probability to like 20%, take off half, and then trail stop on the remainder. But anyway, there's nothing that I can see that's worth doing in these altcoins, as they call them. Okay, let's see what's happening here. All right, any questions? Anybody want to look at the questions? Are kind of mucked up today. See you, radio check is good. Good morning. Okay. Any questions or thoughts or anything so far? We'll hop into stocks. If not, so let me just go ahead and get that set up. We could pop back if we have to. All right, let's go to, see, here's the Langer 100. So see, some of these stocks, super speculative stocks, are still doing pretty good, okay? And again, the Landry 100, we're just buying brand new highs, buying, so to speak. This is hypothetical. Although, like I said last week, a lot of the stocks in here we have bought or recently bought, like AXTI, I think it's still in here. We've recently picked up that one. Let's see, is it in there still? Yeah, there it is. Okay. And that was bought at brand new highs, and it's up 700% since we put it in here. Now, keep in mind, as I say each week, if you're buying, and I think it was Jeff doing some statistics, easy for me to say, saying that you don't necessarily need 100 stocks. I like having 100 stocks because, it gives me a chance to hit that 1,300% or 1,400%, whatever the case may be. Something like USAS, okay, which was putting at brand new highs back on 428, okay? So way back here was making new highs, and it seemed kind of frothy back then, right? In fact, if we were to back it out to then, you'd be like, well, Dave, that's crazy. That stock's making brand new stocks going crazy. Let's see, 428. That's too far. Anyway, you get the idea that, do I have a date somewhere in here? March, April, let's see. Yeah, okay, like right there. So it was looking kind of frothy back there, right? But anyway, so the point is that speculation is alive and well for now. There's going to reach a point where I won't be able to find enough stocks to put in this list, okay, because not enough stocks are rallying. But for now, I'm still finding stocks. The other thing I might do is drop down a little bit. As opposed to looking for 52-week highs, I might drop down to 90-day highs or something like that. Anyway, let's hop into the market real quick. And then if there's any individual stocks or anything you want me to look at, go ahead and punch them in now. Let's take a look at the P's. Kind of an ugly day in the P's. Okay, let's back up to Monday, all right? So on Monday, that was a big old fat washout, right? We had the gap lower, it kept on going. Let's put in the spiders. Okay, so after some fake outs up and down, one of the fake outs I got caught in with the VIX, right? It finally took off and we had a big fat outside day up. So that's huge, right? Because we've got boats have proper water, tons and tons of overhead supply. And all of a sudden it's like, you know, honey badger market, right? It doesn't care. It's just gonna go straight back up. But after a big day like that, it's always what happens next, okay? So now it kind of looks like a one and done. We're getting whacked pretty hard today, down a percent and change. 200-day moving average could be the next stop here. And just kind of use your mind's eye and draw you a nice little rounded top. Now, every time I look at a market that does this, okay, I often think of what Greg Morris once taught me, or said, I should say. A market top is more of a process than an event where everybody thinks, well, the market crashed, Dave. It's like, yeah. But it's been crashing for 6 months before it finally does actually roll over. Whereas a market bottom usually is more of an event than a process. A lot of times you just have this huge spike. Remember when the P's spiked 666 and that was the end of it? The end of the sell-off, that was what, 2008? It was pretty amazing type of thing. It went straight back up. Now, I think the 2003, 2004 bottom was really nice. You had weekly bow ties and all kinds of nice little gradual, you know, turn up. But as a general statement, tops are more of a process, okay, than an event. And as I've said 1,000 times in 2007, I apologized to my clients. The market was making brand new highs that I couldn't find a long to save my life. This time was a little bit different. We still had plenty of longs to buy, mostly golds. Before that was defense and a few other areas. But there was this deterioration underneath the surface, internet, software. In fact, we'll look at those right now. Let's take a look at Rusty first, and we'll look at that. I'm pretty bearish on the Rusty, okay? Rusty 2000, you can see gap lower today. It's off its worst levels, but it's looking fairly ugly. And I had the most, there's a word again, hope for the Rusty, because it came down to the 50 and tried to take off, kind of hugged that 50 simple, like it was getting ready to take off again. But unfortunately rolled over, and then the bow ties to the downside. By the way, the 50 simple and the 200 simple day moving average, I don't usually pay a lot of attention to them. I don't even plot them half the time. But when the market starts looking a little iffy because people look at those, or they're well watched, I should say, I go ahead and throw the 50 simple and the 200 simple, 200 day simple in the charts. But anyway, when you get a sharp sell off at the bow tie, moving averages into the 50, when it just really hits at a sharp angle, that's usually a fairly valid signal, like something's wrong. Okay, that's not a good thing. EFA shares looking pretty ugly. That's the rest of the world. They were really kicking our butt, right? And then finally, it's like, nope, I think we're done too. So they were doing much better than we were, but not anymore. Their software, I've been talking about that quite a bit. That's been an ugly downtrend forever, okay? You had the bow tie way back here. Look at that. What do you have? A little bit of a double top? Look at that double top. It's huge. I feel like Tiny Elvis. And you can see that you had the bow tie. It, what did I just say? Sharp inflection into the 50. Write that down. Back to ugliness. Take a look at medical devices, banging out new lows with vigor. Again, you know, little double top here, all-time highs. Everybody's happy. And then bow tie to the downside. Does an Amber Heard. Oh, man. I can't believe I said that. I cracked myself up. Biotechnology. Boy, that's a bit of a bummer because biotechnology is going sideways, but it's kind of hanging in there, And then now we bow tie to the downside. It's kind of a funky bow tie, but a bow tie nonetheless. And then it pushed into this overhead supply, and now it's getting clocked. So that's starting to look like a top there. You might want to dust off your shorts, right? Medical devices, talked about that. Defense. Now, defense is a bit of a bummer too, okay? So it rallied back up to its old highs, and then now it's beginning to implode, and it's selling off hard below that 50-day simple. But, Dave, what about all the wars and stuff? Well, I guess the defense doesn't care, right? Transports, we need to break down. Look at that. We have a bow tie to the downside there now. Okay, so first little bounce here. This was the first thrust here. This is a bow tie. That's looking kind of ugly. And it was a few days ago, right before the big reversal day, I think. If you can go back and look at the service archives, you can go to youtube.com/Dave Landry and get those more recent ones, and I'll make as many public as possible after this webinar. But if you go back and look at them, there's like one day where I kind of turned a little bit. You know, I kind of went from that aforementioned glass half full to glass half empty. And, you know, here's the thing. A few huge up days in the market could make a big difference when you're within like 5% of all-time highs, okay? So you don't want to get crazy bearish. You know, you don't want to sell the form, but you might want to have it appraised. That's a good way of putting it. The mags, they've topped out a long time ago. Big old fat head and shoulders with the right side higher than the left. Kind of a complex because you have multiple heads, multiple shoulders, or at least one head and two shoulders. I don't trade directly off of that pattern, but if you get that pattern, then you get a bow tie. It pays to pay attention. All service stocks have been one of the big winners. But here's the thing. Even though I'm seeing some buy setups here, I haven't really recommended many to my clients just because I'm seeing a lot of shorts that are beginning to set up within all service. So I'm a little cautious on all service, even though oil obviously has been doing well, except for up until recently. Well, there it is. Look, oil's taking off again, okay? So in spite of oil taking off, once again, oil service is just not really joining in the party as I think it should. And it's kind of odd that we're seeing some shorts within oil service. So pay attention to that situation. And I wouldn't rush out and buy the oil stocks. Now, if you got a nice setup and you want to wait for an, like, especially after today's action, if you want to wait for an entry, then by all means, this is a trend pivot pullback. You got to pull also a Landry Light pullback to the 30 EMA. Okay, so that looks bullish above 387, let's just say 389 or 390, make it easy, round numbers. Okay, it looks bullish above 390 and anything below that, I would be a little cautious with it. Even though it's still in a fantastic longer-term uptrend, I just don't like what I'm seeing internally. And that's the advantage, and you can do this too, believe me, it's not that hard. You can go in, I look at a couple thousand charts a day, okay? And in doing that, I'm like, oh, that's an old service. That looks good. That looks good. It's like, wait a minute, what's this? This is a short. Another short is like, and that's an old service. Like, why are these stocks not doing well? It's like you'll see some cracks, chinks in the armor, like down in the nitty gritty even though the overall sector still looks pretty good. So it kind of gives you a heads up as to what's to come. Major drugs, bit of a bummer. Okay, look at that. Look at that. Tiny Elvis here. Look at that. Look at them bow tie moving averages going in that 50. They're just taking a dive right into it. When you see that, that's usually not a good thing, right? Anyway, major drugs look fantastic until they weren't anymore, right? Robotics, none of those areas doing fantastic, okay? What are the bow tie moving averages doing? Diving into that 50 simple, right? So that's looking ugly. And we were just at brand new highs a few weeks ago there. Semiconductors, back to the bummer, or continuing to the bummer column. You can see, break it down again below that 50 simple. That's starting to look fairly toppy there. So that's of some concern. Obviously, gold stocks are now kind of hugging that 50. And you can see the bow ties are turning down. And they're going at that 50 pretty sharp. Now, but Dave, why don't you get out your gold stocks? Well, let's just let those stops. It's going to be painful and it's going to suck if we get stopped out, to put it mildly. People are like, how could you laugh? It's like, no, I'm not laughing. I'm laughing to keep from crying, right? You know, 12,000, 8,000, that's 4,000 bucks, right? And that's in the model account. If you have other accounts, it could be uglier. And believe me, it is. But I digress. So I would avoid gold for now, too. That's another. There's really nothing that I like. All service, if you, and I shouldn't say this, but my wife says, stop saying that, but put a gun to my head, all service. But I don't like what's happening internally again in all service. So that's, now, you know, check back often, okay? We'll see what's happening next week. Look at energies overall, banging on new highs today. So let's just see how it shakes out. And that doesn't mean that tonight in the service, you're not going to see an energy stock or oil service stock. If I see a setup I like, I'm just starting to get a little cautious, at least in those oil service stocks, because of what I'm seeing internally. I think I beat that dead horse. Financials, oh, that's looking ugly, huh? Look at that, banging out new lows with lots of vigor. Just draw your arrow there, okay? You know, sometimes I draw arrows and people are like, Dave, that's in hindsight. Okay, well, you got an arrow drawn now, okay? Let's see where we are a few months ago, see if that arrow still holds true. What else? I think that's pretty much it. Exploration is still doing pretty good. Look at that, banging on new highs, a little bit of vigor. So, you know, we might still go after energies. We might just have to be selective in doing so. Retail, that's looking ugly. Look at that, okay? It's just continue to implode, banging on new lows. AMLP, all right, let's hop into stocks. AMLP, yeah, that looks good. What is Allerian? What type of ETF is that? What are they? MLP? What are they tracking? Yeah, Roger, that looks good. Ideally, I'd like a little bit more pullback, like a Langerlite pullback to the 30. And I also like, if this was an individual, you know, with the sector, I hear you can go after a sector or ETF like this. With the individual stock, I really don't like when they make these big, like double tops, and you're buying into the double top. Now at low levels, that'll look like a low level cup and handle sometimes, especially if it's drawn out like a saucer and handle or something. I like that, but I'm not a big fan. I prefer stocks to be in clear air. So that's the only dink on that one. But yeah, that's in a nice persistent trend. That looks pretty good. So that looks pretty good. Let me see if I get this questions popped out. I'm having trouble seeing the questions today. Pipelines. Okay, so it's pipelines. So that makes sense. Okay, gotcha. All right, anything else? You've been in for a while. Okay, fantastic. Yeah, good job, Roger. Thank you. Yeah, that's one I don't track. I guess I should add it to my list. AMLP, I'll remember that. Thank you. All right, anything else? Anybody else? Let me check with my YouTube peeps. I don't think I'm seeing anything there. Okay, going once, going twice. War on impasse. Obviously, I want to thank all you guys and girls for attending today. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. If you're ever trying to find these, davelanner.com/webinar, and that'll get you in to the show. I've had issues there too, but I'm going to try to do a better job at all this, getting the word out. But anyway, if you can't find me, let me know and I'll help you find it, find the link wherever it may be hidden. Everybody have a fantastic weekend. Anything unanswered, shoot me an email at davidlandry.com. I think I'll see most of the people here today in the Facebook group in a few minutes. And everyone else, hope to see you again next week. And of course, may the trend be with you. Thank you so much. You're welcome.